Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, thank you, Farad, and welcome everybody to Another Day Above Ground. I'm Dale Irvin, and we're going to tell you things all about baby boomers this year, or not this year, but this week, because this year is starting to go by. You know, it's spring. Spring is in the air, and the mowers are running, and the yard is just filled with last year's frozen dog poop. So, you know, spring is out there. But to talk about all things boner...
So we have a story for you
laser.
Coming up.
Laser focus.
I love men.
Want to start that over, Dale? You want to try that again?
I think it works.
Well, I meant to say boomer, and instead of the M, it was an N. You know, I just had a consonant shift, which is far better than a vowel movement. So, you know, what I wanted to say is we're going to talk about all things boomer. And you two, in one more story, you're going to just laugh like crazy. But please, let me introduce the other two folks on this podcast with me. From Indiana, please welcome the Aristotle of comedy, the wisest of us all, Tim Slagle.
Hey, it's opening day for the Cubs, which means if you live in Wrigleyville, you're going to have brown spots all over your lawn in about a week.
I'm supposed to understand that. You might have to explain for the listeners who are not from the Chicago area, you guys.
When you put pee on somebody's lawn, it turns brown. So people have to go after they get out of a ball game, and there's only a few bars around there, and the lines are very long, so they tend to tinkle on the green.
Women and men, or just the men?
Well, it's primarily men. I've never seen a woman actually do it on purpose.
No, because they slip into the backyard.
Anyhow, that female voice that you hear is none other than Carolyn Strauss, joining us from Denver, Colorado. Our female voice, our voice of some kind of reason.
Reason, unreason, something. I actually had a very boomer moment today where I did my first webinar for a client and I figured it out and it went really well. So I'm having a very good day because technology and I, we're not close. It's like me and flowers, me and gardening. That doesn't work either. Gardening, webinars, it's not my thing, people.
Well, and if you're a new listener, I'm sure you'll learn what Carolyn's thing is by the end of this show, because we talk about it every week. But see, I'm a gardener. I love to garden. That's my big hobby. I like doing that. Anyhow, the good news this week is about a couple who have been married. If you're ready for this, they are Southern. He's 103. She's 100. They're from North Carolina. And they're celebrating their 83rd wedding anniversary. Or 82nd. 82nd. I don't want to jump the gun. 80s. Can you imagine living with somebody for 82 straight years?
I'm wondering when their hearing went. Because I'm thinking that adds to the fact that they're married. So I'm thinking about 20 years that they haven't been able to hear each other. So there's a plus.
Yeah, they've been trying to get a divorce for the past 25 years, but neither of them can hear it.
Yeah, why spend the money, right? Just turn the TV up louder. It's all good.
We're just staying together till all the kids die. Which their kids are baby boomers probably, so that's where that all ties in. Anyhow, I'm sure that these people, D.W. Williams and Willie Williams, and I'm guessing Willie is the woman and D.W. is the man. They don't specify them, but 103 and 100, and happy anniversary to you. I don't know if anybody around here is going to see that, but. If you're deciding on going someplace for a little holiday to celebrate your anniversary, I would sincerely recommend a quaint little Irish village in Ringaskiddy, County Cork. Ringaskiddy, County Cork. Look that up and try and save it. Anyhow, it's a little village where Viagra is manufactured. They have a factory there that makes Viagra, and apparently the fumes from making the pill get emitted out of the plant in what they call love fumes. And people in the city, therefore, are walking around, and all of a sudden, they're all getting chubbies from the love fumes.
They like to say it's an easy place to get to, but a hard place to leave.
County Cork sounds more like County Oak.
I recommend that every woman who's partnered with a man over 50 suggest a holiday to Ireland. I think that it would be so much fun. Fun. I mean, apparently the dogs are walking around with boners.
Hilarious. Yeah, not only that, none of the boys in that village want to give book reports.
Oh,
that was the worst. Turn, I for you to stand up and give your book report. No, not right now. Can I bring my book and hold it in front of me?
You know, when they redo the survey of the happiest places in the world to live, they should survey only women, and they should start in that little village in Ireland, because I got to tell you, woohoo.
I had to actually look that up, because even the name doesn't say, it's Ring a Skitty, you know, like Ring Around the Skitty.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds all made up. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. If you take Viagra, you contribute to the ring-a-skitty economy.
And if you take Viagra and your health plan doesn't cover it, I know a cheap way to get it covered. Just go to Ireland and breathe a little bit.
And if you're in ring-a-skitty and you buy a dozen donuts, you don't need a bag to carry them home. So
a dozen donuts. You are such an optimist, Dale. That's amazing.
Well, I'm not going to be alone. So, congratulations to all the people in Ring-a-Skitty, and we hope, you know, they had a couple of petty thieves in town, and now they're hardened criminals. So, you know, it's a tough place to live. Thank you very much.
No,
all right.
No.
It's an easy place to grab a stiff drink. Yeah. I don't know.
And speaking of a stiff drink, we've talked about baby boomer hobbies and how they can take over and stuff. And here's a guy, a baby boomer, for 40 years he's been collecting beer cans to the point where he has 9,300 beer cans. Now, you've both been to my tiki bar. I've lined the walls with beer cans, about 500 of them. 9,300. Now he's got to sell them because there's no more room in his house, and he wants to go to a smaller house and sell his beer cans.
He built a whole room for those.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys, if you see a picture of it, he literally built an entire room with shelves, and he said he was getting a bad back and bad knees from like organizing them and turning them facing forward.
Yeah. Oh, they take a lot of work.
9,300. That could rival some collections of homeless guys.
Apparently, his oldest one, I think it said it was a can of Guinness from the 1930s that he actually found and bought. I don't believe it had beer in it when he got it. Hey, you guys drink beer. How long does beer last before it goes bad?
I don't know. Never had one I couldn't drink.
probably more than a week, but that's that's all I would know.
But 9,300 beers. I mean, that's more than they go through at Wrigley Field in the top of the first inning.
Probably.
Yeah.
Why'd he spend 40 years collecting them? He could have just gone to Wrigley Field and gone through the recycle bin and got them all in a day.
Well,
this was stupid.
But he's looking for a new house. I suggest you build your house out of beer cans.
Exactly.
Fill them with apparently sand. Stack them up.
Apparently, his wife bought him his first collection book, and that's what got him started on his hobby. Did not say whether he is still married. My guess is that has something to do with the smaller house.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that his wife now owns the big one.
Get your cans. Get the hell out of here, pal. There you go.
Yeah.
Here's one for the
I want to see 9301 cans out of here. First by the morning.
So we wish him good luck with finding that new house. And if you want to buy his cans, I guess he'll put them for sale somewhere. But I would suggest big plastic bags on the side of the road, and they'll disappear. But let's see. Oh, here, if you're going on vacation, you know, it's vacation time, time to plan where you're going for a family vacation, I would suggest that all boomers really stay away from the Grand Canyon. Because in the last 8 days, 3 people have died there because they fell in. The latest one was a 67-year-old boomer who just fell in. Don't stand so close. What's with these people?
They need a sign that says, caution, laws of gravity strictly enforced.
Right. Now we're going to have to what? We're going to have to put up fences around the edge because people are walking too close to the edge. I mean, this last guy fell and this was the coolest part, near that glass overlook. You can walk out 1,000 feet over the canyon, or they built this glass see-through floor thing, and he fell right near it.
Well, it cost $20 to go on there, you know.
I'm thinking the glass must have been really clear. So we couldn't tell the difference. Now, there's an ad for Windex. So clear, you might fall in.
The one that fell, I believe the one you're talking about, was a Hong Kong tourist. And he was snapping photos right before he fell. And I think on the way down, is all he could think of is, oh, great, I'm going to die a stereotype.
If only I was driving.
It does go to show that you'd kind of have to pay attention to your surroundings. And have you noticed that people aren't doing that? I was in New York City last week working, and I literally had to zigzag through people walking up the street. You know how crowded New York is, because 3/4 of them were not looking where they were going. They were looking at their phones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wish there'd been a Grand Canyon in front of them. I mean, walking up 6th Avenue in New York City was a nightmare. It's the same as what this guy did. He just wasn't paying attention to his surroundings. I mean, I didn't kill anybody, but I wanted to.
And as he was falling, though, he did see a sign that says, bottom of canyon is closer than it appears. So, but it was written in English, so tough luck. But
it's only 3 people. I wonder how many coyotes.
You know, Wiley would fall, but he'd be okay, you know, because he'd pull out his Acme parachute, he'd be all right, but... Oh, man, we're in the Lenten season right now, and we heard about a guy back on Ash Wednesday who said that what he was going to give up for Lent was everything except beer. He was only going to consume beer through Lent until Easter Sunday. And according to the reports coming out now, this guy has lost 30 pounds on his monkey-ass beer diet. And it just seems unbelievable.
He lost a suitcase. He lost his dog. He lost 30 pounds worth of stuff.
All these drinks, and you can see the 2 pictures of him, and he used to look like a big fat guy, and now he looks like still a big fat guy, but his skin is sagging a little bit.
Finally, a diet I might be able to stick to.
Yeah.
It's I'm done with the keto and paleo. I want the Anhizo.
Yeah, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that's all that he has. And he's also going to be drinking water because, you know, apparently he wasn't peeing quite enough.
He said he modeled the diet off of what a lot of monks would do in the 1600s. And I actually heard about that, is that some monks, they said, you know, well, that's all we're going to do. We're not going to eat. We're just going to, in order to sustain ourselves, we're going to brew a very rich, strong beer. And they brewed this beer, and after a couple days, they realized that they were pretty much faced. So they said, "What are we going to do?" And they said, "Well, let's send a keg of this to the Pope and see if he approves of it." So they sent a keg of it off to Rome, and the Pope sampled it, and he said, you know, the Pope, of course, used to fine Italian wine, says, "This is the most vile stuff I've ever tasted. Congratulations on your extra penance."
And they named it Coors Light.
Hey, that's brewed down the street from me, and nobody's walking around with a boner, so you leave Coors alone.
How do you know that, Carolyn? Have you checked?
She's always on the lookout, you know, always looking. That's her
hobby.
Tell
you, I am planning a trip to Ireland. I just got to go. I'm wondering if all the beer in Ireland counteracts the Viagra fumes, but who knows? Well, I'll have to do some researching back to you guys.
Oh, yeah, please do. Let us know how that goes and try the haggis. Oh, no, that's Scotland. All right. They have found, now speaking of drinking, is that baby boomers, us, we are more likely than millennials to drink and drive. And that's just a bad thing. We should not drink and drive. That's why God made Uber, you know, and because, you know, please don't drink and drive, because it's a bad thing. And that's our public service announcement and should qualify to get us on public radio.
Of course they don't drink and drive. If they did, they'd have to leave Mom's basement.
I just think they can't afford to drink. What they drink doesn't have any alcohol content because they can't afford it. We can afford the good stuff.
Because they're spending it all on heroin and crack. That's why.
Yeah, there was nothing in the article about boomers snorting and driving, so I guess we're good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, too. All right. But here's the best news. If you're a baby boomer, this is the best news you're probably going to hear for a long, long time. And that's a recent study that was done that says alcohol is more important than exercise to living past 90. That's just, I mean, you know, the skies have opened up. That's a beautiful thing, is that you might have a couple of glasses of alcohol a night to live longer. What do you think about that?
Yay. I mean, look, and this is real research. This is not made up stuff. It was researchers at the Clinic for Aging Research and Education in California, but still focused on what made 90-year-olds live longer. And it says that the study results showed that people who drank two glasses of beer or wine a day improved their odds of living longer than those abstained by 18%.
Wow.
So if you have more, then I got to be like by like 50% then, if you have more than two glasses.
They also found that people who are overweight, not obese, but if people are overweight, actually have a longer survival rate than people who are thin. So that's overweight and two beers a day. Oh my gosh! Live till
this
night.
Is my happiest
study
ever.
I'm up to 2050 already.
Me too, at least, man. This is my happiest study ever, and I'm just not going to research anymore. I'm staying here, overweight, a couple of glasses of wine a day, not beer, but wine. It really literally says it's not bad to be skinny when you're young, but it's very bad to be skinny when you're old. People who were overweight in their 70s lived longer than people who were underweight. You know, I've always said that I was an advanced species. It's why my body can't lose weight, because it's holding on to it till I'm 70, and then it'll be happier than everybody else.
Okay, that sounds like a great theory to me, you know, but all I know is the poor guy who's only on the beer diet's gonna waste away to nothing, and but he's gonna live to be 100, so that'll be beautiful. Oh, that's about it. You know, I got to give Joe Biden a call back. He wanted to know if wearing gloves would help him at all. And I said, yes, if they're boxing gloves, you know, put those on.
Oh, we should actually do a segment about that, you guys, because I feel badly. Look, there are people who are physical touch people. That's just his way of showing affection and support. It was not sexual in nature, and we have got to let this stuff go. And speaking as a woman, everybody's boundaries are in a different place. So before you have a, before you even go near a woman, what are you going to say? Hey, where are your boundaries?
Well, you should.
No, mine are in Ireland. But really?
It was funny. In I was in church last week, and they had a bunch of new members that they were bringing into the church. And so after they inducted them all into the church, the minister and the associate minister said, we got to hug everybody. So they go down this line of about 10 people, and they're hugging them, and there's this 80-year-old lady sitting next to me. And I said, excuse me, I'm going to get in the hugging line. And without missing a beat, this woman says, watch out, Joe Biden got in trouble for that. Oh, wow. God bless you, lady. That's great.
I love her.
Anyhow, I think that's about all we have. We didn't have a real theme other than a substance theme, where you've got to watch what substance you're breathing in Ireland. You got to watch some substance you're collecting. You have to watch, what you're eating, what you're drinking, and you have to watch for, I guess, signs.
Yeah, don't forget the substance at the bottom of the canyon. That's could be deadly.
Literally between a rock and a hard place. It is. That's what this episode was, between a rock and a hard place. There we go.
That's going to be that's the title that's going on this one, between a rock and a hard place. That's perfect. And we sure hope you like our juvenile humor as much as we do, because, you know, it comes the time when you just got to call a boner and get on with your life. Anyhow, any last words, my friends?
Hey, look for me May 25th at the Woodstock Opera House.
Really? You're playing the Opera House? That's supposed to be really a cool place. I've been by it. I've never been in it. Is it a cool place?
I don't know. I'll find out May 25th.
Woodstock, Illinois, or Woodstock, Georgia?
No, Woodstock, Illinois. Okay. Come on. The Woodstock.
Oh, no.
The one where the bird came from. The one where they had the big concert in the 60s, you know.
Yeah,
not
Woodstock,
in Illinois. You're very funny. Hey, I'm a former New Yorker. You can't pull that wool over my eyes, buddy.
What can we pull over your eyes, Carolyn? That's what our people want to know. And
hey, my boundaries, like I said, are wide and varied. Anyway, you guys, I got nothing other than a little bit of work in Ohio next week, but it's not Blixo. Oops, sorry. That's it.
Oh. Okay. And if you would like to contact Carolyn and perhaps we could fix her up with a listener, a fellow boomer, you can do that through our website, anotherdayaboveground.com.
Anotherdayaboveground, and I'm a millionaire.com. Come on.
Well, that's what your hashtag has to be. But anotherdayaboveground.com, all of us are there. You just tap on our pictures, it'll link you to our websites and our email. And you can also leave us a comment and tell us what you would like us to talk about, other than the utter nonsense that we pride ourselves in. So other than that, we hope you've had as good a time as we have had coming to you. Please let us know what you want to hear. Please let us know if you'd like to be on the show. If you have something of value for boomers, we'd love to talk to you. Other than that, enjoy your week, and we will see you next week.
And that's it for another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.